Blog Talk Radio.
We can fight for change with love. Linking up for change with love. As we worship, so it shall be. Grandmothers, grandfathers, grandchildren's destiny.
Hi, and welcome to the Universal Awareness Radio Show. My name's Linda Jocelyn, and I'm your host for tonight's show. I think we may have Stefan from Israel coming online again to give us an update of what is going on there. I know he had some more stories to tell about what goes on the West Bank and on the Gaza Strip. So I haven't actually had contact with him this week, but I think he knows that he's got a slot on at the beginning of the show, so hopefully he will come through. But first of all, I'd like to give a shout out for Miss Magical, who sings that amazing song. That's one of my favorites that she does, Grandchildren's Destiny. Miss Magical can be found on Facebook, and there is she actually has a TV show as well that comes out over the internet, and you're going to find her by putting in Miss Magical, M-A-G-I-K-A-L. Can't actually remember the URL for that now. It's sort of live TV, and she does on the spur of the moment music according to what people are asking her to put in as the subject matter of the song. So it's very interesting. And she has some great songs there. And thank you to her for putting those songs out free when she first came online on Facebook, I believe it was. Right, so tonight we're going to continue with integrating and raising higher energies. And this is part two because we did this show last week and we've had a lot of interest in it. And I think a lot more people now are realizing that there are things they need to know. It's not just about talking about what's happening. It's about how to use your vehicle and what will affect you in the journey that you're on. You know, what will make it slower? What will make it more painful? You know, and that's precisely what I went over last week, so that people see the parts where you can slip, you know, and actually make your journey more difficult, more painful, and longer. And where it gets very confusing because the energies are mutated. So I actually went over quite a few of the main things that actually make that so that we're not just putting out, or that we don't ever put out unreliable information. And I think, you know, there's a lot of unreliable information coming out at the moment. And do you know what? It's a good prompt for anybody out there who does know how it really works, because you've walked that journey yourself for a period of time, so you know what the hurdles are in this journey, and what can make your journey simpler, more pleasurable, easier, and quicker. So I would ask that more and more people come online and tell it as it is, tell it as the real journey for them has been. So that we get, you know, real truth going out there on what happens when you're trying to integrate and raise your higher energies. So last week, just a bit of a recap, I actually went over the things that most people get involved in at some point in their lives. And when you're actually trying to raise your energies, and you are raising your energies, and you want to have integration of that so that you in yourself reach a state of coherence, or a somewhat nearer state of coherence, because to get actual 24/7 coherence is a little bit difficult. It's not impossible, and this is what we're working towards. So what I went over was the alcohol mutation, that using nicotine, what that does, which areas, you know, it affects most, how it affects you, caffeine, also obviously cannabis, because it's so popular out there right now with all different age groups. And like I said last week, not essentially for a high now, but to help them deal with life, because they're actually anesthetizing their emotions with it mostly, and that's where the addiction to it comes in. If they actually stop smoking it daily, then what happens is they start to feel again. And it's really interesting with the cannabis thing, because I've been around people who stopped it and who were prolific smokers, and they actually start to really madly dream again. And in the beginning, they have really crazy technicolor dreams right off after stopping it, because a lot of people, when they're taking cannabis, don't dream. And that's another area where through our dreams, we're moving ourselves on. We're integrating what we deal with during the day. We're actually dealing with emotional stuff. So it's quite interesting when you think about that. But when it comes, you know, full face and slam at you when you stop, it can be quite hard to deal with. And I know some people who've gone back on dope because they couldn't cope with the dreams that came after they'd started to stop. And there's all sorts of things, obviously, that happen when you do try to do this. But do it gradually. You know, that's the main thing here. Don't try and rush yourself. Just be gentle with yourself and start to do it in stages. Because it's not really possible to stop everything that you're doing that is mutating it in the beginning, but do it in steps that you can cope with. Because you can complete it all, I would say, in a pretty short time, but wean yourself off the different substances. Even if you don't think you're addicted to it, really do some weaning there and in stages, because you will have a gentler movement forward then. Something else I wanted to talk about a little bit is, having heard a lot of information recently on what the law of attraction is and how you attract abundance. And I was listening a lot to people saying that, you know, what you're doing when you ask for donations and put out requests for people to help you out money-wise is you're using the law of attraction. I really don't think that's the easiest way to do that, and it's certainly not the most powerful, because you're actually putting out a way that you want the law of attraction to be used for you, and that you are trying to direct it. And that's one of the main things with the law of attraction, is you don't do that. With law of attraction, and it is a universal law, it's a natural law that we are under, whether we're conscious of it or not. But when you're using that, you don't actually put in all of the information about how you want it to come to you, because you're going to actually reduce the power of the law of attraction. You're putting it in a box. And it seems really clear to me, but I must admit this has gone out on channels with a lot of listeners, and it is quite shocking, because the way to have done it would have been to have just put out what your intent is, what you're choosing to have happen, what you're choosing to do, and what your needs are, and then wait and see. I mean, you still go into action. Obviously, you go into action and get on with what you're interested in doing and creating and being inspiring to others and being totally and utterly grateful for what you have right now. But to actually start putting information out to say that you know, putting out a donation request is part of the law of attraction. I really think it's mutating the law of attraction there. I'm just thinking of other little things that have come up recently that should be addressed, because this is the, you know, we're getting towards the end of that journey where the energies will change drastically. There's another piece here on, this is something else, I heard recently that's gone out to a lot of people, and this is talking about psychic attacks. When people have what they feel is a psychic attack, and it's all out of proportion to having been something normal that would happen to them. And this was actually put over as being all, you know, it's the cabal that does it. And I think it's really good to get informed on what happens with psychic attack, because anybody could be psychically attacking somebody else just by putting out negative thoughts, and it's certainly not all coming from the cabal. That again is something really crazy that I heard said. And most psychic attacks are actually occurring just through people being unconscious, and they're directing thoughts towards somebody, or they're talking about somebody in a very negative way. And the more powerful that you are, and the more that you've worked on being able to focus and direct your energy, then the more powerful you're going to be as a healer, but the more powerful you're also going to be as a psychic attacker. And this is what wasn't said on this particular show I was listening to, was that this is where you need to really get yourself in a pure state of mind when you're doing any healing, or you're doing any work one-to-one with people where you're helping them to heal. Because if you're focused with that, you need to be really careful when you start to put a negative focus on things. because for sure the other people are going to feel it, and it could be quite serious. I've told the story of what happened to me when I freshly had just got into this relationship, and you know, there's always an adjustment period when you really come together, and we just started to live together, and we were sorting out things like the assets we had. Like, I had a car, he didn't have a car. I had to go to work on certain days, he had a different schedule, and we obviously had our own separate things that we did. And this was completely, I know, unintentional. But what it was because the person that actually did this psychic attack together with another person just wasn't informed enough and wasn't conscious enough to understand what happens when you direct negative thoughts and negative feelings towards somebody else. And I happened to be the person that was attacked here unconsciously by two other parties. And this was because it was an issue over a car, actually, that I needed to go to work, and the partner that I just started to live with, he wanted to use the car, and he'd had to call one of his friends, another healer, because he worked as a healer and was a very good healer, and he called another healer lady who could take him where he needed to go. And when they were traveling, and obviously, you know, she was newly being introduced to me previously, so I was a new person on the block, if you like. And I think a lot of negative stuff came out, and whether it was all verbal or whether it was actually just thinking as well, I don't know. But I was getting out of this car at the other end of my journey, and it was so obvious what was happening, because if you're being psychically attacked, it isn't like, it can be that you suddenly feel ill, and it can be that you suddenly trip over. But what this was is that as I got out of the car, I was actually knocked over. There wasn't anybody else there at all, and nothing to trip over. And I was actually knocked to the floor. And as I fell to the floor, there was it used to be a chain around one side of our car parking space, and it was put into a post very low down with a hook. And that hook actually caught me on the head, on the forehead. And interesting, wasn't it? Because it was very near the third eye. And there's blood pouring from my head. But I kind of walked, you know, I knew I had to get out. I knew something was happening to me. And I knew my healing center was just down the road a few yards and turn right and straight in the door. And I walked down to the bottom of the road, which was probably 30 yards. And as I got to the corner, I was knocked to the floor again. And so ridiculous. I mean, I don't drink. I wasn't drinking then, and I wasn't feeling ill. And I just, and I knew at that point that it was really, really serious. So I picked myself up, and I had to walk up 3 stone steps. And I literally crawled up those steps and into the door. And I mean, people were just looking at me as if I was mad. And as I got into the door and stood up, the woman I had on the reception desk, who was very intuitive, herself worked with healing and everything, and she said, "You're being psychically attacked, aren't you?" And I had blood dripping down my head. And as soon as I was in that venue, then I knew, which we had a strong intent on healing. I'd used it for quite a few years then. And I'd always run all sorts of spiritual type things there and alternative things. And it was always for the good of the people. So I was able to center back. Now, it was really interesting because that was not done, I would say, consciously at all. It was just people being very unconscious about their power. So this is what I wanted to get over here, having heard this put across, and many of you may have heard this being said, and that it's always, you know, or in it's sort of insinuating that it's always the cabal, it's always really negative people. And it really isn't. It could be you or me if we were not careful with how we focus and how we intend things. And if you're intending unconsciously and you allow yourself to fall asleep so that real negative thoughts go through your mind and you're visualizing somebody else, then you are responsible for that effect that will have. And it all makes sense, doesn't it? You know, if you start to really think about this, if we are really excellent distant healers, which I know, you know, is something that is so powerful, to give somebody distant healing, and I've done this a lot myself, then I know that if I get into a negative state of mind, I'm responsible for what goes out from me on that as well. So that's a really, really important one to comprehend. Comprehend your power, whether you're negative or whether you're positive. And you know, you could say, oh, you know, this is happening because it's the cabal. I would look closer home a lot of the time on that. If you've had issues with somebody or you think somebody's taken a reaction against something you said or whatever, it can all happen like that. And it, you know, it needs to be sorted. We need to educate people as to their own power, not only because of the good they can do in the world, but also the negative they can do in the world. And I'm sure that, you know, the cabal, the elite, use certain functions of this when they need to. But most of it is going to happen through unconscious people, believe me. I mean, I'm telling you one very understandable story, but there are many, many, many stories that could be told by many, many people like this who really comprehend this energetic body that we're in and the responsibility that we have for using it properly. So that's covered a bit of that. Another interesting part of it is when you're actually raising your energies and being around other people, and you know, you can either be the person that is by osmosis helping to raise other people's energies, not because you're trying to, but because it happens naturally. Or you could be one of these people that goes to a group and is so overwhelmed by the energy in the room, you know, that they have to keep going, or they have to keep going towards that person. And we've also, within the movement of people raising their energies right now, we've got this going on as well, where people are following all different sorts of things because they feel differently when they're around that group of people, or they feel differently when they're around maybe one person, you know. But that, you know, it's an interesting pattern that happens as well, and it can happen in a huge, huge way where people for years have followed gurus, you know, these Eastern gurus, but now we have the Western gurus, don't we? We have people following all sorts of other people and following, you know, like I've talked on another couple of shows, actually, when it's been appropriate. I've talked about the law of attraction guy, the secret guy who actually led those people into a sweat lodge. And three of them, I believe, I think it was either two or three, were dead at the end of that sweat lodge or very quickly after, because he was not a competent person to have run a sweat lodge, and all the disciplines were left out the door, and they didn't follow the right protocols that you would follow in that situation. And yet all those people had followed and followed and followed and were willing to follow somebody who was not an expert on sweat lodges. If they'd gone to a native American Indian who had spent his life as the shaman doing that, then they'd have been in a much better place. But this is what happens, because it becomes like an addiction to energies. It becomes the fact that when you're around a certain person, it can be that you feel better. And that's an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, you can get together with a group of people that you really are all in alignment, but you're still all responsible for your own energies. And what happens a lot of the time is when you get together in a group and then, you know, people go back home, the only person who's ever going to be able to sustain that higher energy is the person that was meditating and producing the osmosis for the other people in the beginning. And quite often it will be one person. And maybe, you know, well, it can be one person who's meditating every day, as with the gurus, because those Eastern gurus do the disciplines, you know. And some of them are totally in integrity and some of them aren't. But when you get this happening with, say, a group of people who meet up and one of them is much more advanced than the others and one is doing the work, then when everybody goes home, that person is going to stay totally aligned and totally in alignment with themselves and with the universe. But the others are going to start to find it falling away. They're going to go back to the norm. Their hurts, their level of hurts will start slipping. Okay? So they will become back where they were before they met that person, because they're not actually doing the work individually. And this happens a lot. And sometimes, and I've seen this quite a lot too over the years, is the person who's doing the work is not actually teaching the other people what they do. They'll teach them some things, but they'll never tell them their real disciplines that they carry out every day. So those people keep following. They have to, don't they? Because they're never given the secret ingredient that would actually help them to align with themselves. So be careful of that. Look at what you're doing yourself, and always ask the relevant questions of you want to know how that person, if you're following somebody or you're following a group of people, you want to know how they attain the integration of those higher energies. You don't just want to know the odd bits and pieces. You want to know the real core stuff, so that, or you go and find it for yourself in another direction, so that you can be that when you're with them or not. And that also happens in relationships. I was actually in a relationship with somebody who actually spoke the words. That was quite interesting for me. It's a long time ago now, but it never really been spoken, and I'd never spoken it to anybody who performed that way for me, if you like, or their energy was integral for my integration, if you like. But it's really interesting when somebody says it. And this was a person who we had actually, I was already meditating and had been for possibly a year, 18 months, maybe something like that, I think. Maybe 2 years. And when I met this person, they were really interested in why I was, as they said it, why I was the way I was. And I started to talk to them about where I received my meditation techniques and how I'd received them and what it was all about for me. And invited them to come to what we call satsang, which is speaking in the truth. And when they came, they really wanted to have these meditation techniques and went along that route. At that time, for that person, it took a very short period of time, actually, a matter of weeks, and normally it was months. It certainly was months for me and loads of other people I was around at that time, but he was given a really quick pass through. And when he did this, he then received the techniques, but he found it really difficult to allow himself to sit down and use the techniques of meditation that we were given, the ones that I used every day. So he used to say to me, he used to go off to work and then come round to my house, and he said, you know, I can only feel it when I'm with you. And it's really interesting, isn't it? Because that wasn't what it was about. But what he was doing was he was receiving it by osmosis through my energetic field. And that was because he wasn't putting in enough practice with the actual techniques himself. And that can feel like you're beholden to that person. You need to be around that person. So it wasn't very good. But what he needed to do, and this, if this is happening to you, this is what you need to do. You need to be able to go and get to that place inside yourself, through yourself. And if you need to sit and meditate every day for a month, you need to do that. And every day for 6 months, you may need to do that. It depends how manic your mind has become as to how much meditation you might need to do to actually correct all of that. So that's another thing. That's like group energies, energies from one person that you might be in relationship with, and you only feel really, really good when you're with them. You know, it's with the example I've given you there is through one person who was meditating and one who wasn't. But even in a normal so-called relationship where two people receive that and start to, they're not only receiving it, they're giving it. They're receiving, giving, and they're actually making that higher energy when you fall in love. So when two people, I like to say raise up to love, because that's the only way it's ever going to last. But most people fall in love, right? So they fall into the addictive power of that energy when two people come together and they're flowing in the flow of love together. Okay? And but we know what happens, don't we? Because if those two people are not meditators and aren't in love with themselves, right? They just fell in love with the flow together, which is what falling in love really is. Then what happens is, give it 3 months down the line and that energy goes. It'll only stay if you fall in love first with yourself. And you are somebody who gets in touch with their real self, and then you meet somebody and they're doing the same. So what I'm giving you there is three different examples. The first example is where one person meditates and is in touch with themselves and the other person isn't. So they feel differently when they're with that person, and they feel nearer to themselves when they're with that person. Then you've got two people who neither are meditating, either are in touch with themselves and have got that falling in love with themselves relationship and loving themselves relationship, and then after 3 months the whole energy disperses. And then what you've got is the two people who work on themselves, they're already in love with themselves and love who they are, know who they are, and then if they are both in the flow of love, not dependent on any person, and come together and want to share their lives together, then you've got an energy that will hold. And as long as they keep in that state of coherence within themselves, they can carry that relationship on forever, or to when they feel they want to go other ways, if or whatever. But they could carry that one on forever. It wouldn't fall apart. So there's three different examples of one-to-one there. And as I said, with the group energies, it can be that when you come together for a like-minded project, you're all producing those energies together for that one reason. And then you've got a sort of osmosis going on there. And then when you separate, that can fall apart. And it may only be then just on a project. But also, it may be where one person is the center of that, who does do some of the disciplines and is raising and integrating their energy, and other people are receiving that through osmosis. And you've got many levels of that down the spectrum of guru downwards, haven't you? And some people acknowledge that and realize that, you know, they need to talk to the people about that, if they are in that power position, because that's what it produces, and that's not where we're going in our new world and our new way of living, a new way of responding to one another. So all of that is about being responsible for your own energy, so that, you know, if you had to spend a month on your own, you would be fine. You could feel blissed out. You don't need anybody there. You don't need a group there. You don't need a partner there. You're going to feel the same. You're going to feel that union, that unity with yourself when you're in touch with yourself, when you're in love with yourself and in that flow with the universe because of that. So there is no difference whether you're on your own as such. And if we speak about on our own in a different way, we're going to say we are with ourselves, which is a much better resonating way of putting that, isn't it? So, having spoken about the mutations last week and how it knocks you off your path, how it can cause problems on your path, because you're going to get going and then you're going to start mutating it with all sorts of substances, I'm going to go back to how do we get those energies going? How do we get to integrate and raise those energies? And one way of doing that is what I've been talking about on and off throughout what I've said so far, is getting in touch with who you really are. And that is going inside, not going outside. So you're not looking to anybody else for this. You're looking for techniques, ways of going inside yourself. So I would suggest meditation. And for me, meditation is something very basic and formal. It's not, I don't like it to get confused with other sorts of things, because it takes people miles from where they need to be going. And it may seem easier for people to meet up in groups and call those journeys that people go on meditation. I still hear it from even people, you know, that I meet up with. And they will often make the mistake of calling it meditation when it's visualization. And it's so important that people really understand what the disciplines are to help you go inside. And definitely it's about getting control of your lower mind, the mind that keeps chatting to you, telling you lies, limiting your potential, stopping you doing stuff. You know, somebody offers you an amazing opportunity and the voice comes in, oh no, I don't want to do this. Oh no, this is not for me. This is a bit scary. Or no, I don't want to be a part of somebody else's project. I only want my own, which is the control thing, isn't it? You know, all sorts of stuff can come in at that point. When you're offered, you know, somebody hands you a plane ticket and says, listen, got a great job that you could do for me, but you need to leave pretty soon, within the week, and I don't know when you're coming back. Now, all sorts of things could go through your mind, couldn't it, if you let all the fears and all the conditioning come in. That's something that that just came off the top of my head, but that is something that happened to me some 35 years ago now, is it? 30, 40 years ago that happened to me. And I was at a point in my life where I could jump at it because I'd gone through a lot of revolutionary kind of jumps in my own awareness and everything at the time. Not ones that were going to stick for any length of time until I started really doing something about, you know, regular disciplines. But certainly I'd gone through some evolutionary jumps. I'd jumped through a few hoops at that point. And then when that was offered to me, yes, I'll do it. And it's quite incredible when you do, because things just take off in such an amazing way. And all the synchronicities fall into place when you dare to. I remember somebody asked me something recently and I wrote that, dare to, just dare to. And if you've never dared to, there are people who've never dared to in their lives, begin it now. It's never too late to begin to dare to go, jump across your own boundaries. Do something that's incredible and exciting and an adventure. Because for everybody, all of those things can come in. And when you're getting in touch with yourself and you're going to take a path of putting disciplines in daily, so that to start to get that mind that comes in with those fears, like, oh my God, I can't do that. Oh my God, who's going to look after the cat? Oh my God, what will the family think? How will I get the money? All those things that come in from your lower mind. That's not who you are. That lower mind is just a contrived setup that's happened over the years to you, and it's been given a lot of leeway. Because when you start to meditate and put your attention just on your breath, starting 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, in a quiet place, in your house or in the garden, and you just, as your mind goes off that breath, your consciousness goes off the breath, you bring it back. So you're retraining your mind, because the consciousness will go off the breath when the mind comes in and says, this ground is hard to sit on, or this room's now got cold. You know, the lower mind will come up with everything that you've ever learned in your life, all of the things. So it's been given a hell of a lot. You know, if you're, say, 30 now and you've never meditated, you've got a lot of programming to get rid of. You've got a lot of craziness in the lower mind that's been allowed to run. And that will take a while to tame. Because that's what you're doing. You really want to shut the lower mind up. And you shut it up by not giving it power, not giving it consciousness. Because every time it comes up with, oh, you couldn't definitely, oh, I can't do that. That would be so frightening. Oh, my God, that's so against, you know, what I've been used to. It'll come up with all that stuff. Every time you let it even finish the sentence, you're giving it leeway. You're giving it power. You're actually giving it consciousness. So each time that you pull that back, you're taming it. I always liken it to like when you've got a young puppy and you start taking it out for the first time. You don't give it an enormous, you know, long lead because it's going to run riot. You'd be wiped around lampposts, everything. It'd be across the road. You know, you keep it on a fairly short leash at first, and then when it does start to go off and jump in the road, you're going to be jerking it back, pulling it back, aren't you, on that lead? And it'll learn not to do it. Well, that's exactly what you're doing with your lower mind, so that it can't keep having power over you. It is not who you are. That's the first amazing thing that you find out when you begin either the awareness exercise, which I'll go through in a moment, or the meditation practice, real meditation, where you're training your lower mind to go away. You're training your higher mind to take over, your consciousness, which is the buddhi part of the mind. It's the higher consciousness. So, meditation, getting in touch with who you are, allows you to do so much more in your life. It's not just about calming down anxiety, which it can really help. I mean, it's really good for that. Nervousness, depression, anxiety, all of that can be really, really calmed down with meditation, because you're getting in touch with who you really are. And all of the negative thoughts of depression, the anxiety thoughts and the nervousness come through the lower mind, don't they, when you think about it? But what it does, because you haven't got those things there anymore, there aren't the hurdles to have to go through, are they? So if somebody comes up and offers you an adventure, you're going to say, yes, definitely, I'm there. Because nothing's going to come in the way of that. I mean, your intuition, which is part of your higher mind, is going to tell you if it sounds dodgy or not. You're not going to be somebody who's going to be totally out of control. That's not what happens. And some people do think that. If they take away the fear, the negativity, you know, the hold back type things, that they're going to be out of control, which is not true, because you have an incredible higher mind and higher consciousness, which will spark the intuition, and you will know exactly what to go forward with and what not to go forward with. So getting in touch, doing the meditation, that's one way of immediately starting to raise your level of energy, raising the energies, your energies. When we're talking about raising energies, we're talking about raising levels of consciousness. It's just another way of saying it there. When we're talking about that, we're saying raising and integrating the energies. Well, it's because there's a lot higher energies coming into the planet. That's what we're actually talking about. But another way, and you can do this alongside the meditation, is to begin to learn little techniques of being in the now moment. And we actually have the exercise at www.universallyaware.ning.com, because our moderator actually recorded it off a show where I gave the awareness exercise, which is so very simple. But go onto there and you'll see it as a featured video. It's under the videos. And it's an awareness exercise to be in the now moment. And it takes about a minute to do. And if you do that four times a day, it will change your life. It will change your attention and your consciousness in your life. And because of that, it will alter what you attract to you, how you are with in relationships and everything. And if you team that up with the meditation, then you got a really good set of techniques there. And I would say that doing that awareness exercise, say four times a day, that takes 4 minutes. And if you do that every day for a month, you're going to be seen by family, friends, workmates as being in a totally different state of being. You're going to be more conscious, more awake, more aware, and more who you really are just by doing that. So maybe if you start to think, oh, I can't do this meditation, I can't sit still for 10 minutes, blah, 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 then first of all, do the awareness exercise 4 times a day for a month, and then you'll find the meditation so much easier. So that might be a good way to do. The third point here is got to be, how do you, what fuel, you know, how do you fuel this vehicle of yours? Because this vehicle, this body that we live in with all the different parts of it, all the different technology within it, it needs fuel, doesn't it, to keep alive. It needs the water, the air we breathe, the water. We're a very, very large content of water. And then we put food in. And that food also is the fuel. So what level of food are you putting in? What energy does that translate into? And the water, definitely. I mean, the air that we breathe, we don't have a lot of control over that, except that if you're in nature, you're breathing in different ions in the air, and it's great to get out in nature. It's also good not to be holed up in smoke-filled places like nightclubs and pubs and stuff like that for any length of time, because that's really going to get to you and lower the frequency. But the two we have a lot of control over are the water and the fuel that we put in as fuel. So if we're putting in clean, live, organic, chemical-free vegetables, fruit, in the main, grains, herbs, then that fuel gets used so much differently, doesn't it? It doesn't have to separate out the chemicals. It doesn't have to separate out all the toxins. It's going to be in your body, in your mouth. It's going to start to be used as fuel as soon as it hits the palate because of the enzymes, the digestive enzymes that are there. It's not having to go through a separation process. The body isn't under stress because there's chemicals in it. This is why you've got to get back to real basics to understand this. A lot of people think, oh, I can't be bothered with all this whole food, health food. They think it's all a fad. It's not at all. It's really about the fuel you're putting in your body. And if you're a guy, you probably think really carefully if you've got a great racing car or something, don't you? You would think really highly about, you know, of putting high octane fuel in your car. But you may not. You may be eating stuffing down the beef burgers whilst you're at the garage, you know, instead of thinking what octane of energy am I putting into my body, not just my car. That's a good way to look at it, because if you've got a real high frequency engine, you put in different fuel. So if you want to be somebody who can operate on a high frequency, not just because you're sitting in a Porsche or a Ferrari, you know, because you're sitting in your own vehicle, and you see a lot of really sluggish people sitting in a lot of hot cars, because what they're doing is they're using the persona of the car and the possibility of the car instead of looking at themselves. Now, if you're putting in things like a lot of dead meat, dead fish, which are other beings, then that's going to contaminate and stay very heavy in your system. It's also going to put a lot of work into the engine of your body to get rid of that, to take out any goodness from it, separate out anything that can be used, and to try and pass out anything that shouldn't be in your system. So it's going to take a lot of energy and a lot of effort from all different parts of your body. So that weighs you down. That also, the metabolism of that will, you know, the whole digestive process, it will slow you down while that's being metabolized and digested. So if you're, it's like, I was trying to think of an example here, and maybe we look at marathon runners. They ain't going to be eating a steak sandwich halfway round, are they? They just stop for water, a bit of lemon, a banana, something that goes in their system and works like lightning, you know? lights it all up, gets the energy going, and they're able to run on. They wouldn't dream of doing that. Well, that's how we should be every day of our lives. And how heavy do you feel when you put something in that's mutated the whole natural system of your body, you know? And that it doesn't necessarily have to be the heavy yang meats and fish. It can be, I mean, even eating eggs, eggs are the most yang and heavy product you could ever eat. And so if you were eating a lot of eggs, and certainly hard-boiled eggs, your system's really going to be bunged up for a while and slowly digesting that. And you know, there's been cases of, this is a real extreme, but it just shows you what eggs can do. When people have gone on a fast, if they've ever eaten an egg, I mean, you're advised that if you go on a fast and you go on a detox, do not eat a hard-boiled egg at the end of it, because it, your body, having gone through a detox or gone through a fast, will be slowed up on the digestive side and it will have real trouble. And I have heard of people ending up in hospital having done that. But if we take that in a balanced way now, it just shows you how hard it is for your body to digest a hard-boiled egg. It's an actual whole... It's like a steak, isn't it? Because it's got everything in there to produce a chicken. And a chicken is a being. And if you eat chicken, it's a heavy flesh, like fish is a flesh. It's fish is lighter flesh, but it's still flesh. It's still a being. So your body's going to have trouble digesting that. So if you're putting fresh fruit, you're putting fresh vegetables in, you're not mutating the digestive system of the vehicle, if you like. And I mean, a lot of people don't want to go strict vegetarian or vegan or anything like that. They haven't made any choices like that, and they're not anywhere near that. So the idea here is to slow down, you know, how much, you know, go on to lesser amounts of meat and see whether you actually feel lighter and more energized. And is your digestive system now not having to take all your energy to digest the heavy food that you're putting in it? It's very simple when you analyze this. If you're putting in, you know, a lot of meat and a lot of fish, it takes longer to digest and it uses more energy. So it's using more of your energy. So what do you feel like? If you've never tried it, go on to raw food for a week and see what you feel like. Or just go on to vegetarian, but cook it. I mean, you can go to different stages with this. So going just on eating more and more fresh fruit and veg and still eating some meat, you'll still see a difference. We don't have to go to the extremes. It's a journey that we take. And I was talking at the end of last week's show about the journey that some people have taken now. We now have quite a few breatharians who've come public with what they've done, and including a pregnant woman who went through the whole pregnancy in an incredible state of high health, and she was being checked out and monitored, and she was healthier than the women who were eating food, and she ate no food during the whole pregnancy. So that's the ultimate of your vehicle working without anything going in it. But I mean, I'm not suggesting that we all do that right now. But what I'm saying is there's many, many stages to this journey. And just adding more and more fresh fruit and veg and seeing whether you feel lighter, or doing one day where you're eating no meat at all, and then one day where you do, and then one day where you don't, you're going to see what happens. But I can guarantee you that you will feel lighter and more energized. And you know, some people start to feel a bit spooked by that, because they start to feel more sensitive, more intuitive immediately, and they'll notice more synchronicities around them. Even just doing that one thing, because the energies that are coming into our space that we're breathing in that are all around us now are higher, so, so much higher than they were, say, 20 years ago, then everything's quicker. So even taking out the heavy foods from your diet, you will begin to notice your own sensitivity. If you want to go the whole way with that and really start to raise your energies, which is what this whole show is about again, is raising and integrating those higher energies, then you know, move yourself towards just eating fresh fruit and vegetables. You can cook the vegetables, just you know, but you will start to see the difference. Don't put the dairy in, don't put the eggs in, don't put the meat in. Just eat fresh fruit and vegetables. You can eat as much as you like, you know, and see what happens. I would suggest if you do that, that you don't drink coffee, because your energy is going to go so high anyway, you won't need that. But you're also going to get an incredible increase on sensitivity, and then go raw for a week. And that's a real way of seeing who you really are underneath there, you know. Underneath the heaviness and the closure that you've got on all of the psychic intuitive systems in you. If you do, I know it was kind of standard quite a few years ago when I did this, is to do 10 days on raw food. And it makes an incredible difference to show you just how sensitive you are when you're in your natural state and you start to peel away, how you slow down the function of your vehicle. It would be like taking an amazing Ferrari car and putting in fuel that was really, really dirty and really low grade, because that highly tuned engine wouldn't be able to function very well on that, and it'd probably be, jumping around and stopping and starting if it had dirty fuel in it with the wrong chemicals in it and all sorts of things like that. So that's exactly what people's bodies do, and they end up falling asleep in the afternoon because they've, you know, eaten too heavy a food at lunchtime. The other side of that, of course, is if you're then mixing alcohol. If you eat really heavy food and go out for a steak dinner and then you hit the wine, you are balancing the yin and yang, because the wine is really yin and is at the other end of the scale, and the steak is really yang. But what you're doing is you're bringing them together to hit in the middle, which is neutralizing both. But in order to get there, there's a huge interplay of digestive juices and energy to bring that to the balance in the middle. And that's a lot why people, you know, if they've been drinking all night, they get up in the morning and eat fried food and a lot of sausages and bacon and eggs. Right, because all of those foods, the sausage, the bacon and the eggs, are all extreme yang. And the night before, what they've been doing is really yinning out, Y-I-N. They've been yinning out, and so they need to yang. And it's not easy for the body to do that. It's much, much easier if you eat a balance. And the balance in the middle is the grains with the fresh fruit and vegetables. So if you eat a diet of a certain amount of rice or bread and salads and vegetables, you're keeping a natural balance in the middle of the yin and yang, which is your balance. That's where the integration point is. And if you want to, as I said, if you want to get more sensitive, you would go more into the yin area. If you got so sensitive that you wanted to yang it back out again, and that can happen, then you would bring it down, and you could then eat an egg. That would be the, you know, but I mean, egg is pretty yang. You might just bring in a piece of cheese, because cheese is much less yang than the meat and the flesh, but it's much it's less yang than that, but it's more yang than your fruit and veg. So you get an idea here, and you know, this is what your body is doing naturally. Within this vehicle, it will keep trying to balance itself. We're only talking physically here now, but what will also happen, and we can talk about that on the mental side and emotional side, because there's four parts of us. So we have the spiritual, and we've talked about going inside, the awareness exercise of placing our consciousness in the now moment. That's all on the spiritual side. We're now talking about the physical part of the vehicle and keeping that very well balanced, so that the other parts, the spiritual part, can work properly. But also you'll see that, as I said, the physical part of the body will keep trying to balance itself. So if you eat a steak, it will really be asking you then to have an ice cream afterwards or a dessert, because it wants the sugar to balance out the steak. That's how why our Western diet is as it is, and actually in a lot of other countries, because you know people were used to eating such a lot of yang food, and then they would need to yin it out with a dessert afterwards. So If we look at the mental side of that, your body will also be wanting to balance that, where if you have a real lot of thinking to do, and this can get to the point, can't it, where people have to really walk away from situations where there's a lot of mental activity, like they're at work all day and they really have a lot of shifts to do, and they're work, and then what will happen is that will close down. You know, it will close down of its own accord, and people will have to shut off and have a month off work because they've gone too over the top and they've been too mental for a long time, and the body will start to shut down, and you see very strange situations happen there. Also happens on the emotional side, and I think a lot of what people call nervous breakdowns are a combination of too much of the wrong activity on the mental, and it can be too much on the emotional, or it can be a integration of both, too much on the mental and emotional, and you get a nervous breakdown. And that's undealt with emotions and wrongly used emotions that have never been healed, and the mental being used far, far too much and being so out of balance in the end, and having no balance with the other side of that side of the brain, because the mental side is the left side of the brain, and if you don't put the creativity in, then you're going to get a real out of balance situation. And you know that the physical also starts to try and balance itself there, doesn't it? And we have many, many people that end up with strokes, and that's where basically you get an explosion in the blood carrying vessels in the brain, and they just blow out. And it'll be, you know, usually on that left brain side. A lot of the time, it will take out the left side. And what people are left with is they can't think logically very well, or they can't do the accountancy job, or they can't do the engineering job anymore, but they have to do something creative. And that will have built up, could have built up over 20, 40 years, where they never gave themselves the balance of the other side of the brain. So your body is always looking, on every aspect, it's always looking for that balance, which is the perfect mode for us to be in, is totally in that balance. And the body will do whatever it can do to work that out and sort that out into a better level. And the stroke is one of the most extremes there that it does. But for a lot of people, doesn't it? I'm sure everybody who's listening and will listen to the archives will know many, many people who've ended up with a stroke situation. It's interesting, I find that cocaine, when people have started to use cocaine, and there's so many people in the higher echelons of our world that use that to enable them to get more and more mentally involved with what they do, but that, you know, cocaine has been put down to being something that will cause strokes. And it's for exactly that reason. If you've ever been around anybody on cocaine, they just talk. The mental is just talking to them the whole time, and they're just, you know, verbalizing the whole time. And it can actually cause strokes just on its own. So if there are any questions about any of these aspects of raising the energies, integrating the energies, staying balanced with the energies, that I don't think it's going to be possible to ignore this for very much longer, because we're getting stronger and stronger, higher frequency energies coming into the planet. So if there's any questions on this and anything people have gone through, then just give us a ring. We're on 917-889-2283. And we haven't had Stefan come in. Maybe he misunderstood and thought he was coming on next week's show or at the end of the month. I know we originally talked about him coming on once a month. But he will be on again to, you know, be updating us on the current situation in Israel because of the atrocities that are happening in Palestine. And he's actually of Arab descent himself. Okay, I think that I've done enough on that. I'm going to actually leave it there. I've just gone over the hour here, but this is the second part of this, and I don't want to be talking about stuff just for the sake of it. I really wanted to finish this off on integrating and raising higher energies, because I only covered one part of it really last week. So I'm going to say namaste and enjoy the rest of your evening or day, whatever time zone you're in, and bye for now. And I'm going to play us out with another wonderful Miss Magical song, No Fear.
Give me conspiracy theories, they've got to go. I don't believe what I hear, I only believe what I see. Don't give me your doom and gloom series, it's not for me. I have no fear, I have no fear no more. No fear no more. Conspiracy theories, they're not for me. We have no fear.